Make the choice to begin anywhere in your life, and the journey has started.
We exist more than just to educate. We exist to also revitalize.
And along the way, you can inspire others and be inspired.
But now there's a new generation of scholars, and I am among them.
If you really want to know who you are and what you are capable of, Howard is the choice for you.
Take a moment. Listen to the stories by joining the president of Howard University, Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, and his guest on The Journey.
Howard University is known for bringing in great leaders to continue the legacy of truth and service here at our institution. We have a new voice on campus, and she brings 20 years of working in the healthcare industry. She will be taking Howard University Hospital to the next level. We are delighted that she's excited to join the Howard University family. Hello, my name is Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on the journey is Mrs. Anita Jenkins, CEO of Howard University Hospital. Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So you are originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
That's right. Go Steelers.
So tell me a little bit about Pittsburgh and your relationship with Pittsburgh growing up.
Certainly. Born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My dad was a steel worker, and we are Pittsburgh Steelers fans to the core. I started my career there, though, as a respiratory therapist at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. So that emergency room and trauma experience was a wonderful start to my journey.
So growing up in Pittsburgh at that time, sure. Tell me what your parents' background was like. What were they kind of focused on, and how that initial upbringing influenced what you do today?
My parents were hardworking people. I remember my father would leave every day. In fact, for a while, he worked a couple of jobs. My mother was home with us most of the time until we went, in fact, to a small private school that she worked in the cafeteria to pay for our tuition. I have one sibling, my sister, and so it was great. We didn't realize how hard they struggled because they made life great for us.
And what was your schooling like at that time?
Sure. I went to a very small Seventh-day Adventist elementary school, Ethnon Temple Seventh-day Adventist Elementary School. And interestingly enough, they still had joint groups. So my first, second, and third grade class was in one room, taught by one teacher. Fourth, fifth, and sixth by one teacher. Seventh and eighth by one teacher.
And what about your high school experience you think prepared you for college and for what you would go on to choose in terms of career-wise?
My high school experience really exposed me to a lot of people, and I had to learn very quickly to adapt. So when you start talking about high school and then my chosen profession and then what I evolved to be, adaptation or evolution was absolutely what I had to do.
Okay, and then you went on to get your bachelor's degree at Averitt University of Virginia. What was that experience like? I mean, it's Averitt.
It's Averitt. That's okay. I had gone to school for respiratory therapy, and while I was still working and we had children, I went back for my advanced degree in respiratory therapy and kept working on that bachelor's degree in business. Lived and worked in Huntsville, Alabama. Stopped working on... I'll stop this. And I actually went to school for music at the university. At the University of Birmingham at Huntsville, and because I was, I had the opportunity to get a scholarship, and it was a free scholarship for music. So, I auditioned, I sang the only song that I knew in a different language, Ave Maria, and got the scholarship. So I went to school for music. Then, kept continuing on with my bachelor's degree.
So respiratory therapy was your first calling.
Yes.
And especially in the middle of this crisis, we've really come to recognize that frontline workers that don't usually stand in the spotlight, sure, such as respiratory therapists, how critical they are. What has been your experience as a respiratory therapist?
And the COVID crisis, my heart goes back to so many years that I took care of patients in a breathing crisis. You really have to help them breathe, reassure them that they will live, help them move past the panic, you know, while you're delivering medication or while you're administering oxygen, or even when they are in crisis. I have intubated patients. So while you're putting that tube down their throat, you know, I used to talk in patients' ears. We are here. This is scary, but we're taking care of you. And while patients are on ventilators, there are some times when they are in and out of consciousness, depending on how we are managing them. I have proned patients on a ventilator before, and proning is, of course, turning people face down. You've got more lung volume on the back of you than you do on the front. And then you don't have all that much, you have girth in the front sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it makes it hard to breathe on your face up. And so when you prone someone, they can breathe easier. I remember getting on the floor and looking in their eyes. You're okay. You're okay down here. We're taking care of you. And then we would put things like books or magazines or pictures or family pictures on the floor, so that patients could be reassured that they're okay. This COVID experience, I am hearing that that it really feels like people are smothering and drowning. So my heart goes out to respiratory therapists, caregivers, and physicians who are sympathizing and trying to work through that type of patient crisis.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Anita Jenkins, CEO of Howard University Hospital. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick.
Now, you went on to earn your MBA.
Yes.
And from Walden University in Minnesota. And subsequent to that, you got into hospital systems and most recently, was president of the Sycamore Medical Center. Tell me, in terms of your switch from giving clinical care to becoming involved in management and administration, when did that occur and why?
It was one event. I volunteered to help. I was a respiratory therapist, and the hospital system was going through a different type of care model, and they wanted to get some data. They needed to have a clinician to look through these charts and understand this data between the respiratory therapists and how the nurses were working, and I had to get data, understand, are the patients receiving it, are they documenting properly, and what are the outcomes? And then I had to give this presentation. So I get in the boardroom, and my news was not good. I had to tell them honestly that this process wasn't working, this wasn't the best care, and that there are some processes, then there are some changes that have to happen. I gave that presentation, and then they offered me the job as the supervisor of the department, and then the department coordinator, and then the manager of that department. And that's how it started.
This pandemic in particular, especially because the respiratory compromise is there, based on what you're seeing in terms of the ventilator use, how we're impacting patients in terms of respiratory distress, have you seen something like this before in your career? And what is so unusual about this compared to any other flu or disease that we've seen in the past?
I've never seen anything like it. It affects patients in such severe ways. The flu seasons or spraying tobacco was somewhat predictable. And this is a little bit unpredictable. We have to work very hard to understand the disease process and adjust to it to care for our patients.
As CEO, working in the Adventist system, you're very familiar with the Adventist system, which
yes.
is why we are very pleased to have you as we enter that partnership with Adventist. What about Adventist Healthcare distinguishes it and you think makes it the right fit as a partner?
Adventist Healthcare, first of all, starts out with the same mission that Howard University and Howard University Hospital started from its inception. Let's take care of the community that we serve. Let's make sure that we are giving good and strong care. When I was being recruited, I was so impressed by the leadership that they made sure that I understood that they're in this for the right reasons. They want to be a part of Howard University Hospitals and Howard University, but the hospital's legacy of why we started, why the hospital was born, and where it is today, and then where it can be. Howard University, Adventist Healthcare itself has taken some of its hospitals from a D to an A, a two-star or a one-star to a five-star in the Adventist health system. So they know how to do it. The hospital where I came from was a five-star and an A leapfrog and a top 100. I've seen it in place. So I'm really proud to be a part of Adventist Healthcare and Howard University Hospital, because Howard University Hospital and the university deserve the best. And I am proud to be a part of that.
In terms of the challenges that are in front of you, what do you think are the most immediate challenges?
Sure. I think the immediate challenge is to help the entire team, the healthcare team, understand our process I understand the process to deliver patient experience. It takes personal behavior changes to chart differently, walk differently, talk to your patients differently, talk to our families differently, clean differently, discharge differently, think about our patients differently. And so just being a part of that type of cultural shift is going to be fun. But what I do know is each and every one of these caregivers care about the patients that they serve. I have seen physicians and nurses and caregivers and housekeepers with an amazing sense of pride in what they do and who we do it for. So we just need to tweak it and make sure that we do it in the manner that delivers all. It delivers some today, but delivers all of the measures that we want to achieve.
One of the things that we try to underscore here at Howard, especially having 70% of my undergrads as women, is woman leadership. When I started, we had one permanent dean who was a woman, and now we currently have about half of my deans. So they're three members of my cabinet who are women in major leadership roles at the university, and you obviously now add to that. What advice do you have for young people who are making their way through in terms of getting to the C-suite?
It's interesting. I think young leaders, and especially young women leaders, concentrate on the barriers that exist. When you allow yourself to perform and perform highly, it does show itself. And a good organization will see it, and they will appreciate it. I always tell leaders to do more than they're asked. I literally am in leadership because I volunteered to do something, to do something different, to do something more. I've had to do that along the way. I took on, I had a job, I was VP. I clearly had more work than the other VPs, and that was okay because it taught me about all kinds of departments, and it made me ready for today.
Now, you obviously met some challenges. What are the strongest assets you think you've met here at Howard University Hospital that you think will ensure its success?
I started on February 17th, and we did not know COVID was coming. My husband and I went out to dinner in D.C. We just got started, and within 2 weeks, the city was shut down, the hospital was shut down. It has been an advantage for us, for me, to work through the crisis with the hospital leadership and our staff members. It has helped me see, what are our weaknesses? Where and who are our strengths? Who stands up? Who sits back? What are the opportunities in a growth phase? When we strategize about what our future is like, this is how we can do it, because now we see where we have our opportunities.
Now, as we close, one of the things I ask everyone who comes to the GNE is a very simple question with an answer that is very subjective, and that is, for the young people who are listening in any field all over the world that will see this, why Howard University?
I was already a president. It was performing well. I enjoyed my job. Howard University has the distinct history of being this start that served African-American or Black people post-slavery, and Howard University has seen over 100 years of walking through that journey. If anybody's paying attention, health disparities still exist. If you're paying attention, there is disparity between Black and white and jobs and work and careers and opportunities and all of that. I wanted to be a part of taking Howard University to the top performing hospital, maybe in the country, but definitely in Washington, D.C. And to be a part of that history is good enough. It was enough for me. When my husband, I called him on the phone, and he was like, so what's the question? My husband was in, my family was in, my children, my friends. It is that much of an attraction to be a part of this amazing journey. And so I'm in.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you. Thanks for being here. My guest today was Anita Jenkins, CEO of Howard University Hospital. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.